You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Stars fans, it's Jeff K., public address announcer for your Dallas Stars, and you're listening to Starcastic Remarks, part of the Hockey Podcast Network. Go Stars!
Hey guys, welcome back to Starcastic Remarks. Alongside James and Chris, my name is Ryan Chambers. We are the official Dallas Stars podcast of THPN. Speaking of THPN, go and use that promo code the next time you are there using DraftKings Pick 6 option. It's actually a lot of fun. I've done it a couple of times. Go ahead and check that out. We would really appreciate it. That lets them know that we are the ones that sent you. Guys, I can't even remember the last time we did one of these episodes. It's a full hour episode here of Starcastic Remarks. We're going to try to start doing this a little bit more regularly. And boy, do we have a lot of stuff to talk about here tonight. Just because there's storylines galore with the Dallas Stars right now, including some very recent stuff as of yesterday and even this morning that we were unaware of. So we'll get into all of that stuff here in just a second. But first off, how are we doing today?
Great. It sounded like you forgot James's name there for a second. So that was kind of an interesting start, I thought.
I forgot to move my microphone. It was over here. It was like over there. So yeah. I was like, it started and I was like, oh, crap.
Yeah, sure.
Pull it over. Oh, come
good
on.
Save. Sorry, Jimothy.
It's not a good save. Oh, I know no. Your name, James. It's okay.
Are you sure you know my name?
Yes, I'm pretty sure I know your name.
Okay, I'll believe you.
I am the oldest after all, so I know all of y'all. Do you even know my birthday? I can tell you your birthday.
Nope.
Chris, you know my birthday? I know your birthday.
No,
I know it's in the summer.
Birthdays. It's not my fault.
I know it's in the summer after the littles.
Anyway, the Stars.
That's all you got?
I was expecting more.
Okay. Anyways, we've got a list of things that we want to get to. We're going to do the clickbaity stuff as we were talking about earlier, just to kind of hit that stuff off first. It's getting kind of interesting with some of the things that we're starting to see kind of floating around out there. We're about 6 months away from the trade deadline. Teams are starting to figure out, you know, what are we missing? What do we need to go in a deep run in the playoffs? You know, the teams that are obviously out of the playoffs right now are kind of looking at, okay, who can we, you know, sell off at the trade deadline? And then all of a sudden this comes up. John Klingberg is looking to join into the NHL once again. He is having numerous offers. I guess interest is the right word. And there's about 5 to 7 teams, according to Darren Dreger, that are interested in his services. And apparently, I didn't expect this, but the Stars are being floated out there. It's not like they're a leading candidate or anything like that, but could you see a John Klingberg return to Dallas?
First off, 6 months until the trade deadline. June trade deadline's way too late. I mean, that's not going to help anybody.
March, buddy.
Haha, Ryan said something wrong. Okay, anyway. it's interesting. I think the main reason why you're hearing Dallas's name in the conversations for Klinger is the agent for Klinger is just trying to get his name out there and get people talking about him to drum up some interest in him as he's looking to sign for a new team. So that's the number one reason why I think his name is out there, because they're making rumors. Number two, would it actually help the Stars? Maybe. I mean, what was he best at when he was with Dallas is probably helping that power play along. And the Stars' power play has been absolutely atrocious. The worst part of Klinger's game is probably his defense, which for a defenseman isn't great, but we're one of the best defensive teams in the league, so if anyone can cover for it, it's probably Dallas. So yeah, it's interesting. I don't think it's the worst idea ever. It'd have to be really cheap because his last two seasons were absolutely awful. But if he was going to have a resurgence and an actual good comeback in the league, I think the Stars are the team that he would play best for.
Yeah. And truly, it would come down to if he wanted to come play for the Stars again. This all means nothing if he doesn't want to come here, because he's going to get better offers from other places than Dallas. I mean, it's just how it's going to work. And he's going to probably end up playing on the third pairing, honestly, when you think about it.
Unless he's the power play.
Yeah, it's going to be something that he goes out of his way to go do. But if he wants to, I'm sure the Stars would be happy to have him back.
It just doesn't make any sense in any aspect of how you look at it, right? I mean, the only thing that I could see him coming back to Dallas for is for pure nostalgic reasons, okay? Because the fact he, you know, was a Dallas Star. He was the number one guy for a really long time. The one thing that he does have going for him is the power play, and he's also right-handed. So I know we shouldn't be talking about it like that, but right-handed defensemen are hard to find, especially good ones. Just everything else just doesn't make sense. Dumba.
Those are two pretty big things, though, in my opinion. Right-handed and can play on the power play for us. Those are two pretty big boxes.
The thing is you haven't even really given Harley a chance to be on that top power play unit. Maybe he's the solution to all of this. I'm not saying he will be the only solution to it, but have you even tried it? What about Nils Lundqvist? He deserves a shot based off of how he's played this year. And then we're going to go and sign a guy that has had several bad seasons.
Yeah.
And it's no offense to him. It's the truth. It's just the facts. He's coming off of two really bad seasons. His defense was atrocious, which that's ironic considering he's a defenseman. And not just that, but he's coming off of a hip resurfacing injury. Sorry. And that's not easy to come back. We've seen how Sagan has been coming back from a hip injury like that. So I just don't understand it and why that makes any sense for Dallas. Now, if he's going to sign for league minimum and he's fine with being possibly a seventh guy, sure. Okay, fine. We'll give you a shot. But again, like y'all both, I forget who it was that said, I think James, there's going to be other options for him out there where he will actually get to play and probably even on the playoff team.
Yeah, I think it's not likely at all he's going to go for league minimum. I think he's likely going to get around $3 million, mainly because those right-hand defensemen are so needed so badly in the league. So some team is going to give him around $3 million, in my opinion. Yeah, it's not ideal. It'd be a move that would feel similar to how Dumba has felt this offseason. Like, sure, I guess, but that doesn't really solve the problem. So it would be interesting. And like I said, I think he would do best on the Stars because that's the last time he's been good is with Dallas. I think that would give him some good feelings at least. It's just interesting. I think the main reason Dallas is even in the name is because it's rumors just trying to get some interest in him, and it's worked. I mean, this is the talk of the NHL so far today.
Well, I mean, I don't blame him. I hope he gets back in the NHL. I really do, because
he will somewhere.
He was such a great player for so long for the Dallas Stars, and even defensively for a 4 or 5 years, he was really, really good. He came in and was astonishing. He came in as just a kind of came out of nowhere kind of guy.
And it's worth noting, even on his bad teams, I mean, his advanced analytics on his defense were not good. By every stat, his defense was bad. He was still getting 20 minutes a night, even considering he was having such bad years. Even on the Maple Leafs, he was getting 20 minutes a night, which was a good team. So it's not like they're going to put a bad defenseman out there on a playoff team. So, yeah, I don't know. It's an interesting one. It's a high risk, not super high reward, in my opinion.
Right. Okay, anything else on Klingberg?
No, I don't think so.
I was just really surprised to see the Stars mentioned in that Darren Dreger tweet. I was very surprised. I scoured the internet for several hours today trying to find something on Roope Hintz, and I'm finding nothing. This injury looms quite large right now, considering how well the Stars have played, how well he has played in the last, I'd say, 3 weeks, and how the Stars' record has kind of followed suit. Is this injury to Roope Hintz, I don't want to say catastrophic, but is it at least concerning?
I mean, yeah, it's concerning for sure. Anytime your top center goes down, especially when you already have probably your two other top players, well, maybe second and third top players, with Sagan and Marchment going out too. So, yeah, the Stars have got the injury bug, and they've got it pretty bad.
Yeah, and they're just going to have to keep playing through it. I mean, that's what it comes down to. You got some, you have some great prospects down in Cedar Park, and you're just going to have to use that and really try and show the depth that this team has, especially in the forward group.
And I'm just worried about the chemistry with everything too, because Wyatt Johnston has looked really good on the line that he's been with Duchesne and Ben, and now he's kind of being forced into this. He is the number one center guy. So, and that's a lot to ask of a 21-year-old, but you know, he started to look a lot better, and he's been fantastic ever since he started his NHL career. So this is just another step in that direction. And I just worry about the chemistry of those top two lines, because the top two lines have really been getting us through this stretch. We loaded up on the top six, and I know it's not the way Pete DeBoer likes to do things, but dang, has it worked. It has absolutely worked. They're what, 8-1 in their last nine, whatever. I mean, you could throw so many different kind of stats out there with games played and wins and stuff like that. But that's just why I'm a little bit worried. I'm just worried about the chemistry, because that, I think that was what was missing before the Stars started going on this run.
And I see what you're saying in that, but really what was missing was just pure goal scoring, because the defense looks great. And that's something that is kind of nice. Even if we see some goals dry up, our defense is so good that it's going to keep winning us games anyway. So that's going to be something that they're going to keep struggling with, is scoring goals.
Yeah, and like you mentioned, James, that's one of the reasons why this team is so good, is that they have so many different ways they can win. So, I mean, we even have the rookies that were scoring last game, and especially with Bork having a great three games in a row, maybe he's figured something out. But even if not, maybe there is no scoring, and we go back to what it was 10 games ago where we're struggling to get two. And even then we can win games with how good our defense has been, how great of a season Otters had. There's still ways to do it. It takes one of those things to step up and to scrape by. Hopefully Hintz isn't out for too long, and that'll really, we'll start a real conversation when we see that he's out for next game. But yeah, there's a lot of different ways this team can win. They can at least scrape by.
I just feel like if there was nothing really wrong with him, we would have heard of something by now. Yeah. Is that fair or not really?
Travel after a long road trip, they're full shutdown.
I guess
mode,
yeah,
I think
that's true.
What that is more than anything.
Yeah. Yeah, that's actually very true. I didn't think about it that way. I mean, that's the longest road trip of the season so far. 5 games, I think. Right?
Yep.
So
yep.
On the road for at least a week and a half. So, okay, let's move to the next thing, because we're getting closer and closer to that, to all that star stuff. This was the next thing. This is not really Dallas Stars related, but kind of. This is really interesting, and I'm glad it's happening. And we can, you know, throw softballs at this however we want to and take it wherever it goes. Obviously, the biggest news in the DFW sports arena is one, the obviously the coach for the Dallas Cowboys. They're looking for a new head coach. But then the second biggest story, the Texas Rangers have joined Victory Plus, and they will be able to see the Rangers on Victory Plus, anybody in the DFW area, DFW sports fans. So what do you think of the move? And what do you think about the fact that it's not a free thing? It's not going to be free for the Texas Rangers. It's going to be $100 for the entire season. At least that's the reported thing. I haven't seen anything else.
That was on the Texas Rangers official release. So okay, I think so. That is going to be for sure. It's interesting. It's interesting for Victory Plus to accept that, especially with all their branding is free live sports. I mean, that's basically their tagline pretty much on all their commercials and stuff. It says free live sports. So it is interesting. It's especially going to be weird comparing that to how the Stars are completely free and the Rangers are going to be charging $100 for a season. I think it doesn't look good on the Rangers because you're asking why can the Rangers not do that, but the Stars can. It seems a little bit weird. That being said, though, if you compare this to the Rangers being on Bally, for at least 75% of fans, it has to be a good thing. I mean, the Bally app was $20 a month for a terrible app that never worked. And Victory Plus is taking your cost down a little bit, and it's been a better product, at least as far as I'm concerned, than what Bally was. I mean, Bally, we missed full games. I mean, it was fully shut down.
That's true.
So $100 for an app that works and to get to watch the team you want is, I mean, it's better than what you had. It just looks bad in comparison to what the Stars are doing.
Yeah. And the one thing that is kind of nice from growing the game perspective is you might get some of those people going to watch the Texas Rangers now that just happen to see the Stars on there and realize that it's free and you could just go watch whatever. And they already have the app downloaded. They just have to go and click on it. That's it.
And that's what the main thing I was kind of going to get at, since we are a Stars podcast and head that direction, is the fact that this is very good for the Stars because it and for Victory Plus, honestly. I know that they were going for this whole free sports thing, but what this does do is it gives them a little bit more credibility. And I know they already had the Stars. I know they already had the Anaheim Ducks, but they just had hockey, right? They didn't have any other sport. Well, now they can add MLB to their functionality of their app and be like, see, look how legit we are. We have not just hockey, but baseball too. And maybe that looks more appealing to other sports in the DFW area. I'm looking at you, Dallas Mavericks. Okay. You know, stuff like that. Now, I don't know how true all of this stuff is. So I know a lot of people are talking about it in the chat. As far as I understand, with the Stars entering into a 7-year contract with Victory Plus, the fact that it is free now will not change over the duration of those 7 years. And I believe that is true. I tried to find something that would say otherwise, but that's at least as far as I understand. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's the biggest worry about for Stars fans is, oh, well, crud, are the Rangers... Since the Rangers are charging, are the Stars going to start charging? No, I don't think so because of the contract. But the second thing that I also believe in is the fact of how much Brad Alberts, you know, Ardell talking about Brad Alberts. He's the CEO of the Dallas Stars. Well, I might not have the title right, but he's very up in upper management. He talked so much about for a while how anxious they were, the Stars organization was, and going to a free-based and ad-supported, you know, streaming service like this, right? And then as they were talking and as they were talking with a parent media company, this company based in Canada, they kind of broke down that wall. And Brad Alberts was like, okay, fine, yeah. I absolutely am 100% on board with this. So maybe the move for Victory Plus was this, is that you try to get the Rangers on for right now, make them have a paid subscription service, and then try to show them the data based off of what they have and try to win them over that, yes, you can make money based off of having a free subscription service and all that sort of thing. So, again, that's a lot of speculation on my part and a lot of just thinking too far into it. But that's what I'm kind of pulling out of all of this.
Yeah, I mean, it at least gets you a big headline.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, the World Series champion 2 years ago is on Victory Plus. That is an absolutely huge thing.
Yeah, so, I would be wary to say that the Stars absolutely won't charge over the next 7 seasons. I know you didn't say that, but it's just. You can't know that for sure unless you see the contract language. Maybe there's like an out in like 2 years or something that says if we haven't recouped X amount of dollars with advertising, then we might start charging. You just don't know unless you've actually seen the contract, and we're not going to see the actual contract that they have with APMC. So I'd be hesitant at that. And I do think it is going to having one team paid and one team not paid, there's going to be kind of a reckoning with that at some point. Well, at some point, one's going to win. It's not going to stay that way, I don't think.
And you know,
either the Stars are going to get more revenue per view, and it's going to be more than what the Rangers are getting with their $100 subscription, or it's going to be the other way, and eventually one of the teams is going to flip, is what I think is going to happen. So it's really going to be a live experiment to see what really is the future of regional sports networks.
That's really interesting. I actually hadn't thought about it that like that. I mean, it's literally an experiment between the same, you know, pro teams in the same market to see how it goes. And they'll be able to have the data, and probably in 2, 3, 4 years, they'll be able to tell you, hey, this one works better than this one, or maybe it doesn't matter. And in that case, if it doesn't matter, then the Rangers can just be like, okay, well then why are we charging people for it if we're making the same amount of money as the Stars are? So, agreed. So that will be good for DFW fans who are fans of the Rangers. So it's just really interesting.
One other wrinkle that they're not going to be able to really measure is the fan growth that you get with having it free. That's one of the big things we talked about with the Stars getting to this much more accessible space on Victory Plus, is that, I mean, if merchandise revenue goes up, how do you know how much to attribute that to Stars games being easier to watch? If ticket sales go up, how much can you attribute to that? And you can't really know. So that's what's going to be the harder thing to actually calculate. We'll know, like, per viewer how much each sport is getting, and that'll be easy to show a number. But the outside revenue, outside of the actual viewership, is going to be a lot harder to measure. So I hope the Stars way wins out, because I think having free sports is just going to make people more excited to see the sport and get people who are tangentially interested at least get their eyes on it for a little bit. And if they catch the bug, then they're all in. I mean, that's really what it is with a hobby like this, is if you watch a niche thing like this and you happen to fall in love with it, then you're really sucked in. And that's when you get all those merch sales. That's when you get ticket sales. And that's when you get a diehard fan. I think that's how it builds more than having it locked down the way it is right now.
And maybe the growth that they see is not necessarily just from, like you're saying, Chris, from the ads, but all the other stuff that, well, if you make a fan, a hardcore fan, well, then all of a sudden they're going to, like you said, they're going to buy ticket. They're going to buy merch stuff that would. And that's something you can't measure.
And that might be even a little different based on the sport. Like, everyone knows what baseball is in Texas. I mean, there's not anybody who hasn't seen a baseball game. There are definitely people who haven't seen a hockey game in Texas. So that might be, you might weigh those differently as well. Like, for baseball, it's not really worth seeing the, or trying to get a tangential fan, but for hockey, it might be worth it.
Hi, James. Did you disappear?
Yeah, I disappeared. Came right back. What happened?
Hey, the West Texas internet is your fault now. It's not mine anymore.
What's going on?
He's in the trees.
I'm gonna have to reset my internet, apparently.
All right. There's a lot of questions over here, guys, and I'll try to answer them. Let's see. How long is the Rangers contract? I don't know. I'll get back with you guys on that.
Disclosed at the moment.
That would be my guess. I did not find anything, nor would I expect to find anything about this. Darren saying, are the Ducks charging their fans? No, they are not. So Anaheim Ducks and Dallas Stars fans can watch their teams for free. If you pay, can you watch the Rangers out of market? The answer to that is no. The only games they will be able to play or to be able to see on Victory Plus is regionally broadcasted games, which is still a majority of the games, right? But there are some nationally televised games that I'm sure will be on, you know, whatever the big, you know, networks are that have the MLB rights there. Darren, we'll get to your question here in a second after this. The one other thing I did want to mention, and I don't think it's necessarily the Rangers. The Rangers themselves could probably be like, no, we want to have that safety net of having a subscription fee for their stuff. But the other thing that I did notice, and I think there's a lot of truth to this, I don't think the MLB themselves wants any teams going out there and allowing their product to be free to be seen, if that makes any sense. I think the Stars jumped the gun and didn't let the NHL kind of talk to them before they made the decision to go to a free ad-based thing. And again, I'm speculating on that. It could be they were in talks the whole time and Gary Bettman was like, sure, I don't care. But the MLB is very different in this case. They do not want their games being broadcasted for free and where it's easily and readily available.
Yeah, I don't know if that's true. I think they were talking about Brad Alberts was talking about how this was in discussion for a couple of years to do the Victory Plus thing. And we saw with a lot of hockey YouTubers were actually getting their videos ad revenue taken over. I didn't even see that. But
yeah, that was the question I was talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's something that the MLB actually doesn't really do a lot of. I mean, you see the John Boy stuff where it's the guy who does the lip readings over the sports videos. He does mostly baseball.
I love that guy. I love
yeah, he's super funny. Baseball lets him use that stuff because it grows their game. And if anything, I feel like hockey is more protective over how their copyright is used than baseball is. So I don't know. I don't think it's the MLB doing it. I think the Rangers just want to have that little bit of safety net. And hopefully it's just for a year. And they see, hey, we could get X more viewers if it was free. And we would get this much more ad revenue. And it would be worth it to make it free. And hopefully that's what happens. I think that's really what this is going to come down to. It's going to be a test of which one is more profitable. And in a couple of years, we're going to know which way it is. Either the Stars are going to start charging or the Rangers are going to start charging. I think the main thing to keep in mind here, though, however that goes, is that it's better than what we had before. I mean, with how locked That's down fair. Valley was after the streaming war started, charging $20 a month for the worst streaming application any of us have ever used. I mean, we are at a much better place, even if it does eventually get charged $100.
And for the Stars, I don't think it would be $100. I think it would be cheaper than that, but again, we're speculating on that.
I mean,
it doesn't really
nighttime
matter.
For Vegas is like 120, I think. So,
really? Okay,
I think it is.
Yeah, doesn't Vegas stream their games for free? Also, I was about to say,
I don't
think it's super expensive though, but they do it in house. I believe. I believe they're the ones that put it on themselves, just like the Stars kind of are. They're sort of kind of connected to Victory Plus in some ways, but. And I'll ask you guys about this and then we'll talk actual star stuff here. How about the NHL going after all YouTube channels that use game footage? I was unaware of this until I went and looked at social media. There was just one tweet I saw about it and I kind of just went down a rabbit hole with all of these, well, all these tweets, all these posts on social media. And I was like, my gosh, it's like, I understand wanting to protect the intellectual property that you're putting on because it is extremely valuable, right? I mean, it's a $1 billion industry. But at some point, you're going to make yourself look bad and that negativity is going to hurt your profit margin, I would think, at some point, right?
It's not just making yourself look bad. It's being stupid and short-sighted is what it's doing. And this is what the Stars were doing before when they extended their contract with Fox Sports / Bally or whatever. It's you're taking the for sure money. You're taking the most money that you can get right now. And that's what the NHL thinks that they're doing. They think they're protecting their property so that they force people to actually pay them directly to watch the property. But what they're totally missing is the amount of fans that content creators can bring in by having videos like this. And especially I think ECK was the one guy who was really but he was the guy that really drummed up a lot of noise on Twitter over it. And his is actually teaching you about hockey and about why it's so awesome. And you're going to stop fans from seeing stuff like that, especially when the NHL does such a terrible job of educating its audience. I mean, we can, I guess, watch Biz make stupid jokes on NHL TNT as much as we want, but But they don't teach much hockey on those broadcasts. It's funny, but I mean, you're not learning anything about the game if you're really interested in it. And for especially out of market teams, if you don't know anything about hockey, I mean, you can watch and you can have fun when the team score, but you're going to be confused a lot of the other times. You're going to be confused about why the forecheck looks like this, why penalty kills are running this way. What is a different kind of power play formation? What are formations? What's the neutral zone forecheck? I mean, if that doesn't ever get explained, which the NHL doesn't ever do, then you're not going to have very many deep fans watching your game out of market.
Especially when you talk about this as a game that is not commonly played. I mean, like football, it's played in every high school in the United States. So you talk about that and you can see the translation of that over into the NFL some, and you can pick out positions and whatnot. It's not that way with hockey. Most places do not get exposed to it at all. I mean, I didn't even recognize formations or even how teams set up in the league until like 3 years ago. And I've been watching hockey since I was little.
Hey guys, have you tried Pick 6 from DraftKings yet? What are you waiting for? The NFL playoffs are here and time is running out. As the official daily fantasy sports partner of the NFL, DraftKings does fantasy sports like no one else. Pick 6 is super easy to play. Just select two or more players and choose whether they'll have more or less of a stat, like touchdowns, yardage, sacks, and more. It's fun, simple, and you can win big. Best of all, Pick 6 is available in most states, including Missouri, California, Texas, Georgia, and much more. And here's the kicker. DraftKings is making it even sweeter for first-timers. New Pick 6 customers can play just $5 and get $50 in Pick 6 credits. That's right. Play $5, get $50 in credits to keep the action going. Win more cash with Pick 6. Download the DraftKings Pick 6 app and use the code THPN. That's code THPN for new customers to play $5, get $50 in Pick 6 credits. Only on DraftKings Pick 6. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org in Connecticut. Must be 18 plus. Age and eligibility restrictions vary by jurisdiction. Pick 6 not available everywhere, including New York and Ontario. Void where prohibited. One per new customer. Bonus awarded as non-withdrawable Pick 6 credits that expire in 30 days. Limited time offer. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Yeah, well, and that's part of the problem is that in Canada and Toronto, where the NHL is based, everyone does know hockey. Everybody's played hockey in Canada. So they do know it just as well as we know football. And the other thing, though, is like even football, most people know it easier. And all the teams are, you could say, in market. There's no like out of market football, really. It's not the same way where there's no ice in Texas. I mean, there's a field everywhere. So everyone can play football. Even then, the NFL does such a better job at explaining why linemen are doing a great job in their game. I mean, you see them taking out their little markers and showing, look at this pull right here. And he pulled really well across the line to make this big block to set up this big run through the middle of the field. The NHL never does stuff like that. And it makes the out-of-market teams even more uneducated.
The other weird thing that's kind of strange about all the strikes that they've been getting is that it seems like the NHL wasn't originally claiming those videos and they suddenly have all at once, because it's not like this one YouTuber suddenly spoke up about it. A bunch of different YouTubers all started doing it all at the same time.
And it's dumb and short-sighted. You're going to make more money if you allow those guys to do that and build your fan base than you would trying to get random clips of a few games taken off YouTube. It literally doesn't make sense.
And the other thing about it, too, is, you know, since we're talking about growing the game a little bit, too, what hockey fans are really bad about, and not so much down here in the South, since we are, you know, a non-traditional market, as they say we are. I mean, it truly is. It is when hockey fans completely gatekeep their game. And if you don't understand what that means, this is like if someone comes and they come and watch a game or whatever, and they try to ask you a whole bunch of questions so they can better understand. And you're like, I can't believe that you don't know what this means. Well, how do you think that makes them feel? Like they're not going to want to come back to a game if people are going to act like that. And unfortunately, there are people out there who have had experiences with hockey and with hockey fans, and then that the sport doesn't grow. So it's frustrating because it's like they want to be bigger than the NBA and they want to be bigger than the MLB and stuff like that. I don't think they're ever going to get to NFL levels, but they're shooting themselves in the foot with those two aspects, with the, you know, all the YouTube strikes that they're doing now and gatekeeping the fans gatekeeping the game. That's why I never act like that to anybody who's brand new to the game and they're asking a whole bunch of questions. I don't act like that because at one point I was like that. And yeah, I was little, but there are adults that don't know how the game of hockey works.
I mean, I think every group has people that gatekeep stuff like that. So I don't think that's a specific hockey problem, but yeah, it doesn't help. But the bigger deal is that the NHL needs to do a better job of showing that. And there's people that are doing it for them for free. The NHL doesn't have to pay those guys, and they're showing hockey and showing all the nuance and all the interesting stuff that's underneath the surface and all the unwritten rules. And we're just not going to allow that. It doesn't make sense. And this goes back to the cap friendly thing too. When they took down cap friendly, the reason people love cap friendly is because they like digging into that stuff and playing armchair GM. It's fun. It gets you more interested in the game, and they don't want to have any of that information really available to fans because why? Because you just don't want us to have that much information. It just doesn't make sense.
You give us your money and just enjoy our product. That's all they want. They don't want you to delve into the other stuff. Okay, we could talk about that for a moment, much, much longer, and we're already kind of getting over time on some of the other stuff. But all right, good discussion there. Okay, specifically what we wanted to actually get into today, the state of the Stars. We're roughly about halfway through the season, gentlemen, and I just want to get just your initial thoughts, and then I'm going to jump down some rabbit holes in a little bit. So based off of expectations at the preseason, maybe even before the preseason, maybe during the offseason, where are you at with the Dallas Stars? Is this where you expected them to be? Are they overachieving, underachieving? Is there certain aspects? What's your initial thoughts?
Yeah, this is I'm pretty much at where I thought I would be at with them at the start of the season. I mean, the win streak really helped push them back where I thought they should be. So I think they're in a safe spot now. They've done it in a way that I didn't really expect. I thought with all the rookie forwards that we had that were so good in the AHL that they would be able to come in and kind of light the lamp a little bit easier. I thought Bork Stengoven would be able to easily click back together and they'd be scoring a ton and we'd have a ton of scoring lines actually rolling. I thought, I mean, to start the season, we had Steele Dodonov on the fourth line. And that's that was going to be a huge scoring line for us. And I was expecting this to be a high scoring team that can outscore some defensive problems with losing Tanev. And it's turned out kind of the opposite. I mean, this is a top notch defending team. Largely thanks to the huge step that Lindell has taken. I mean, he has been absolutely amazing defensively. He was already one of the best defenders in the league. Now, if there was a defensive defenseman trophy, like not a lot of points, but really good defender, Lindell's probably at the top of it right now. I mean, he leads the league in time on ice on the penalty kill by a wide margin. He's been unbelievable in all aspects in his own zone. Same for Haskin and Harley. I wouldn't say they've stepped up their defense as much as Lindell has, but they've been totally solid. The step Lundqvist has taken has been great. He's moved from a really shaky, scary guy to have on your blue line to he's your solid bottom pair guy who has the offensive upside that we're still waiting for. And Lundqvist has done well. The only issue is Dumba, who has been hurt so much, and hopefully he's coming around a little bit. But the defense has been fantastic. The defense from the forwards has been great. And that's something we knew that we would have for the Stars. I mean, their entire system plays great two-way hockey. And Otter has finally bounced back too. So I thought this would be a much more high scoring team that would struggle on the blue line. And it turns out the opposite. The blue line's been great and the offense is really struggling in part due to the injuries.
Well, and you forgot Lyubushkin. Lyubushkin has surprisingly.
I think I said Lundqvist twice. I meant Lyubushkin.
Okay. Cause he honestly, as far as expectations go, he has exceeded them for me at least.
For sure.
And he's Nils too. Yeah, he is. He's playing top pairing. And I mean, how often did I talk about that in the off season? It's like, I want to see that happen. He did it with Morgan Rielly in Toronto and he's done it with Miro and has done it excellently. Okay. I'm sorry, James, I cut you off.
I mean, we talk about the goals scoring being kind of an issue, and it was for the first 30 games, but the last 14, they've been out of their mind. They've climbed all the way up to ninth in goals for per game, which is absolutely nuts considering that it felt like they couldn't score at all to start the season.
Yeah, and I actually had a stat on here. They're 13th in the NHL in goals scored, which kind of surprised me, to be honest with you. I thought it was going to be a lot lower. So, all right, what I do want to do, and James, do you have any other thoughts before I jump in? Nope. No? Okay. I just want to look at the overall team performance right now, and like no individuals, but just the team overall, okay? So where they're at right now in the Central Division is their third, and we're all like, crap, well, that's where they were a month and a half ago. But it has gotten a lot closer. They are 1 point behind Minnesota, I believe, as of this recording, and they're only four behind Winnipeg. Six. Okay, so I was a little off, but I mean, it was like 10+ points a month and a half ago, and they're making ground on both of those teams, and they are gaining ground on both of them. And the other thing you kind of have to watch out for is the fact that Colorado is starting to figure it out too. They completely overhauled their goaltending mid-season with Wedgwood and Blackwood, and they even talked about it in their game last night. Blackwood stood on his head, and Jared Bednar, I saw the press conference he did. He was not impressed with his team, even though they won 3-2 in overtime. So they're starting to get it together, and the Central looks scary, dude. It looks stupid.
The stupid thing is the Stars are third in the division and fifth in the league. So
you can't really complain
Central
about
the division
that.
Is there's four teams in the top 10 in the Central.
That's ridiculous. And, you know, I kind of was curious about, because it's been so long now, where did other publications have the Stars at, like power ranking wise, in the preseason before any games were played? And I looked at ESPN and I looked at Sportsnet, an American and a Canadian broadcast. ESPN had them third and Sportsnet had them second. Now, based off of what we've seen right now, I don't think that I would have them that high as of right now. And specifically based off of how they do in the regular season. Now, when you get to the playoffs, the fact that they've had two long runs in the playoffs the last 2 years, I think that is a huge intangible for them when you get there. So then I think that kind of bumps up their chances, even if they're the underdog. If they go and they stay the third seed and they go against Minnesota, I still think the Stars have a way better shot of beating Minnesota, even when Kaprizov and all their other guys come back. And then the other thing I wanted to break down a little bit was the home versus the away record is very different than what we saw last season. Last season, it was the complete opposite. Right now, the home record as of January 15th, 16-5-1. That is absolutely elite level. You probably can't do much better than that. And their one loss at home in overtime was that Minnesota game, which I still hate. And then on the road, for the longest time, they just were sucking it up on the road. But the last month and a half, they have figured out their game, and a road, you know, record that was subpar 500 is now 12-9. So they're starting to figure out both sides of their game, especially on the road side. But I mean, I don't understand it. Like what's the, why is it so anemic going from year to year where like 1 year the road is ridiculous and then this year the home record is ridiculous? Doesn't make any sense.
I think it's a law of averages. I think the NHL has proven Murphy's over the law. Past few playoffs that it doesn't really matter what building you play in that all that much. It used to matter a whole lot more. And for whatever reason, now the way that the game is played, it's not really a good indicator of who's going to win.
The other thing about the away record is that the team started 0-4 on the road. That's what they started the year at. So since then, they've gone 12-5, which is pretty elite.
And just in case you're curious about by the month, in October, they were 7-2, November 6-6. They were 8-5-1 in December. And then in January, they've just exploded. They're 7-1. So obviously you can tell based off of the, you know, month records, November was very awkward. It's the outlier, which is good news because that's where they really started to struggle. And January, we've seen how well they can play. The only other question I had about the home versus away record, does it kind of hurt their chances in the playoffs when we get there? Because we talked about how good they were on the road last year, and then in the playoffs, that continued into the playoff season. They were ridiculous on the road in the playoffs. And we all sat here and laughed in the first three series that they played. They lost the first game in all three, and they seem to end up winning the series, even though they lose the first game, and they've done that the last couple of years. So is that something to be leery of if the Stars, you know, continue this trend?
No.
Yeah. No. I mean, like I said, the arena you play in hasn't really been a big factor for the past 5 years in the NHL playoffs. So I don't think it's all that important.
I mean, it would be nice to win a couple of game ones, but you know, it's not really what the Stars do for some reason.
I mean, there's no way they can lose that many game ones in a row, right? Right.
They've done it. Wouldn't that be something if they go and win the Stanley Cup this year and they just lose every single game one on their way? I'm sure that's happened at some point in the history, but okay, moving on from that, the last thing team wise I wanted to talk about was special teams. The special teams have been in some parts really, really good and in other parts really, really bad. Obviously everyone knows what I'm talking about. The penalty kill right now, I looked it up before we started. 85.2%. They're only beating Carolina by 0.2, but they are first overall in the NHL right now on their penalty kill. And I'm not surprised. I'm really not surprised at all. The one we have to highlight though is the power play. And get this, I looked this up and I thought it was nuts. Okay, so the Stars are 26th overall, right, in the NHL when it comes to power play. At home, they're 10.5%. So then that tells me right there, I'm like, holy crap. Well, if they're dead last in the home power play, then on the road, they got to be pretty good, right? Someone take a guess at what their percentage is.
It's like 22.
25.4. That's ridiculous. I mean, that was a stat I looked at. I was like, holy crap. So what are they doing on the road that's, you know, that they can't do at home? Or is it just something about the fact that they just went on this road trip and maybe they figured out their power play on the road trip and maybe that will translate to, you know, home games back at the American Airlines Center now?
I mean, part of it is that the Stars aren't typically trailing at home. So maybe they don't feel as much pressure on the power play because they have the better record at home. I mean, we've lost six games at home, one of those being one in across the sea. So it's a little nuts that the power play percentage is that much of a difference and the record is much worse when the percentage on the power play is much better.
Yeah, that don't make much sense.
I just don't know. That's the only thing I can think of is just they figured it out on the recent road trip, and
yeah,
they haven't had the chance to make the home power play any better.
Yeah, they played their best hockey recently. They just got off their longest continuous road trip, so yeah.
Even maybe before still. That, though, the power play on the road was better. So
it was still, yeah.
Not this much better.
Not that drastic.
Like. Yeah, no. Not this drastic. I mean, 15%? That's ridiculous. So that's like every 4 opportunities you get a goal on the road. But every 10 opportunities you get at at home, you get 1 goal. That doesn't make any sense. You should have 3 goals based off of that percentage. But anyways, I thought that was eye-opening for me. I didn't realize it was that bad.
They did almost go 50% on the power play on the road trip. So
it is true. Okay. I want to talk about just some specific players now. We can kind of dig into specific players. And it can be anyone you want to highlight for any specific reason, for any part of the game. Like, for example, I'll give a kind of out there one. Sam Steele, for me, has been excellent this year in all the intangibles that he does, but specifically on the penalty kill. I think he does an absolute excellent job, and I think that deserves to be highlighted. Is there anything like that you've seen from any players? And I have others, but I'm letting y'all kind of choose.
Yeah, I already kind of did it with Lindell, but he's most improved, in my opinion. He was already probably the Stars' best defensive defenseman. So I don't know how he could have improved as much as he did, but he really did. It's incredible to see how locked down he is and how solid he is. I mean, all of his time on ice, there's no real danger when he's on the ice. He's able to stop it. It's really been incredible, and it's something that doesn't show on any stats. I mean, you can't see how good Lindell has been if you just look at the game sheet, but if you watch the game, you know how unstoppable he's been.
Yeah, and I'll pick another player who's been like that. I'll take Oscar Beck. I mean, that has been amazing. We ship Fox out to the Blues, and this dude comes out of seemingly nowhere and is amazing on the fourth line and fits the role perfectly and is pretty decent on the dots too. So, I mean, he's pretty much a perfect fit for the fourth line, and we didn't even know he was there, or at least I didn't.
Yeah, oh, I'll tell you, he definitely didn't come out of nowhere because the AHL staff was coaching him up to fill pretty much that exact role. I mean, last season, he didn't score a lot of points in the AHL. And you think, if you're not scoring a lot of points in the AHL, how are you getting called up to the NHL? Because he's doing that job of a fourth liner perfectly. That's what he was developed to do, and he has been really good at it.
I don't think I've complained about him once this year, and he's a rookie in the NHL.
Yeah, and he's not going to score. He's not. But guess what? He signed, a 3-year contract for less than $1 million? I'll pay you less than $1 million as long as you don't get scored on.
To both of y'all's points, with Beck, I think Beck, sorry, I can't believe I said that. With Beck, in terms of expectations, I think he's probably the rookie that has done the best this year. If you ask me, saying the expectations for some players like Maverick Bork and Logan Stankoven were probably a little bit unrealistic and a little bit harsh, but he's come out of seemingly nowhere for a lot of at least Dallas based area fans and been like, hey, this guy is really good. He plays a perfect role and he does exactly what he needs to do. I mean, and that's what Fox had did for so long. I mean, that's why he got the
$3 million.
Yes, exactly. It's because he did it for so long and he was so good at it. And then as for with Lindell, Chris, I'll push back on you a little bit on in this aspect. I just think he's been good for a really long time. We're just appreciating it more now.
I think he's better.
Now,
I'm
not saying he's not better, but to say that he has, you know, drastically improved or even improved like by 50% or something like that, I don't think that's true. I think he's just really been that good for that long, and he's gotten even better now.
I mean, so, on the PK, even last year, he wasn't doing the full PK. We're literally leaving him out there on the PK. Everyone else, you can change. Lindell, no, you're staying out there for the entire penalty kill. That's insane. What other player in the NHL does that?
I think they were doing that with Hawk and Paw a little bit too. They were leaving both of them out.
No, they weren't doing that last year. I mean, maybe at the end of the game if there was like a timeout or a TV break in between, but that wasn't the norm. Every penalty kill, Lindell is out there the entire time. It is insanity.
Okay, there have been several players I'm sorry, James. Go ahead. Are you going to say something?
No, but I will if you want me to.
Okay, go ahead, James.
I mean, Lindell has played more time on ice this year than the previous two. I mean, he's slowly climbing back up to 22, 23 minutes where he kind of dropped for a season or two. So maybe this is more of a return to form rather than getting much better, because truly he has looked ridiculous this year compared to the last two.
Fair. Sorry, I was going to take a hard left turn here, but I think the storyline for a lot of our top players, especially on the offensive side, was just a really slow start. We've talked about how Roope Hintz, his scoring has kind of come around now. Jason Robertson is finally starting to get there, and even Wyatt Johnston. I remember in the offseason we were talking, could Wyatt Johnston score 40 or 50 goals this year? And he's not. I don't think he's going to get there, obviously, this season. But
it's 10 right now.
Right, exactly. So he'll be lucky to hit 30 like he did last year at this point. So it is nice to see those three guys plus Maverick Bork, who did start slower than we expected, and they're all starting to kind of dig themselves out of these ruts that they were in. I mean, look at Logan Stankoven. I didn't have a goal for 25 games, and he has a 3-point night yesterday against the Maple Leafs.
Yeah, I mean, the best thing about what's happened recently for the Stars is that they were able to be so bad offensively and able to still get points and stay where they needed to be. And now that the offense is turned on, like, is there a reason for it to turn off again? I mean, this is what they did last year. They passed the torch around back and forth between who was going to score, and I see no reason for that to stop. Now, maybe all of our players get injured, which seems like it might be happening. Hopefully that stops. But the scoring has returned for almost everybody these past 10 games, and that's why we've been on such a big streak. And it's not like this scoring is out of nowhere. This is what happened last year. This is the normal. So if this normal can stay, there's no reason that we don't climb back up to the top of the division.
With the defense we have too, as well.
Yeah, with an improved defense, better defense.
Yeah, and a defense that has exceeded expectations as far as keeping goals out of our own net, if that makes any sense. I'm sorry, James, go ahead.
I mean, there's no one on the team right now that is even a point per game, which is kind of crazy. Nuts. When you talk about their fifth in the league in points. It's spread all over the place, and the defense is super high, and it's going to be a whole team effort again this year, and it's going to have to be from here on out, especially with more and more players going down.
Yeah, and then again, to close it out, we're getting all these players getting hot again. You're going to get trade deadline stuff. That's going to happen. We'll probably talk more about that next episode, about what may happen, especially since it's getting closer. You're going to have people come back from injury too. I mean, we need to build a little roster sheet of what this team could look like game one of the playoffs with Sagan back, Marchment back, two additions from the trade market, most likely maybe Klinger's on there. Who knows? This roster could look absolutely insane come game one of the playoffs. And they're already on a hot streak right now.
I want to throw a couple of stats at y'all since we are getting kind of close here. Logan Stankoven, I got these from MoneyPuck, by the way, which is one of the advanced analytics sites that a lot of super fans and just regular fans use when we're talking about analytics. Stankoven currently has 6 goals on the season, correct? Mm-hmm. What do y'all know what his expected goals should be? Okay, James, so don't answer. Chris, what do you think it is?
22.
Oh, wow.
Sometimes it feels like that, but no. According to his expected goals, he should be at 12. 11.8 to be exact. So according to MoneyPuck.com, he should have twice as many goals as what he has right now.
I thought you meant end of the season.
Oh, no. Sorry. That, like,
still wrong.
Right now. Right. Yeah, still wrong.
James, I hate you.
But I just thought, again, that was interesting. Another one that there is a high danger scoring chance chart that I was looking at. I was looking at the top 100. Guess how many players the Stars have in the top 100 when it comes to high danger scoring chances?
10.
Okay.
I'll go with 7.
The answer is 3. And one of them will really surprise you. Okay. If you had to guess the 3 players, who are they?
I hate these stupid guessing games, bro.
Sager, Hintz, and Johnston.
Okay, Chris.
I refuse. I'm tired of this.
Okay, it's Roope, Wyatt Johnston, and this surprised me, Evgeny Dodonov.
Well, he's been insane.
He is 78th in high danger scoring chances. I thought that was nuts. So it's. Just two. I was doing a whole bunch of like prep work for the podcast, and I thought those two in particular were just really interesting. So, okay. That's the state of the Stars, y'all. It's about a 22-23 minute little discussion of where we're at, where we can see them. And probably in the next episode, we'll start really looking at, potential trade targets. Other than, I know Ryan O'Reilly has been someone I really want, but there's other guys out there that they could go out and get that could do somewhat of the same things that he could do. And we'll get that next week a little bit, but it is time. We have not had this in a long time, gentlemen. Chris, was it your idea or was
no,
it
James? James is good.
Yeah, James. Okay.
Idea.
So here, you got full screen here. Go.
All right. So the Who Cares segment is your favorite square on a chessboard. Doing top 3 squares on the chessboard. Chris, I guess, is going to go first.
Well, I was trying to pull up a chessboard, but maybe y'all can pull up a chessboard to show people what we're actually talking about here. So my number one space. Number third, I guess. Sorry. I guess that's how this works. We start from the bottom. Number third, I'm taking D4. Pawn to D4. Great opening. That's the one I like the most. Easy, take the center space. That's what you want. Pawn to D4.
The square, Chris, not the piece.
D4. It doesn't have to be pawn to D4. That's just what I think of when I think of D4.
Any piece goes to D4 and you like it.
Yeah, D4 is a good spot. You want that central control.
All right. Okay, James. I'll go second because Ryan's having fun.
I'm trying to find it. Here we go.
I'm going to choose the E4 square because E4 is much better than D4, and I like playing E4. Anytime a piece goes there, it's much, much better than if it's on D4. I mean, it's obvious. It's on the right side.
No, D4 has... That's why D4 is better.
No, E4 is better because it's on the right side.
Yeah, but D4 confuses them. It's like, whoa, why is it on the left?
No, it has to be on the right. I'm sorry. You're wrong.
All right.
Anyway, Ryan.
Why are y'all arguing about this?
It's important.
It is.
I guess I'll go with E8. I know it's lame, but it's because it's where the king is.
Well, that's the only thing I'd be on D8. So that was
okay. It's where he starts. It's where he starts. You numbnut. Okay.
I guess that's fair.
That's where he goes.
Oh, you had to pick a letter and number. All right. My number two space is gonna be it's F7. I like F7 because that just seems, I mean, if you're playing from, I guess we would be saying this is a white side on this board.
Yes.
That's just an aggressive spot to be. You know, it's a good spot. You have one cover and you can put a piece there and he's very aggressive and he's protected. I like it. It's a good space to be. F7. Get there.
Okay. All right. For my number second square, I'm going to go with B3. Not sure why B3, but, you know, B3s, I always end up with a piece on B3. It's like a pretty useless square for a piece to be on.
That's what I was about to say.
But a piece always ends up there, so it's got to be one of my favorites. So,
B3. That's shocking. Yeah, like, a knight can't even really get there unless you really finagle him.
Only 2 moves.
It's 3.
No, you only need two.
You only need two. You can get there in 2. I was about to say, yeah, you can get there in 2.
Still, that's crazy. That's pretty stupid.
Thanks.
He takes that as a compliment. Oh, man. Really, this segment is a testament to its name. Who cares?
Ryan certainly doesn't. He's not taking this seriously at all.
I am not taking this seriously at all. I'll go... I really don't know. I'll go with C6 because every time I play, one of the first moves I do is I do move the knight. And I don't know why I always move it towards the inside, but I always move it towards the inside instead of the outside.
Who else, if you move your knight to the outside on its first move, you are a madman.
You're either really dumb or insanely smart.
And you know what you're doing, yeah. But that's my only reasoning for that. So C6.
All right. My number one is H6. And because it is sneaky good. Whenever you have developed your pieces, it's all developed. You know what you do? You push your pawns. You push them up the right side, flank the garbage out of them. You get a pawn to H6, you're a champion. You're winning that game if your pawn's on H6. That's why I like H6. More aggression. It's aggression. So where F7 was kind of reckless aggression, you know, aggression for aggression's sake, H6 is aggression to win. That's winner's aggression right there. That's chess.
All right. Lost me, Chris.
All right. My number one favorite square is C4. D4. It's explosive. Hey. It's just far enough left that it does throw people off. Unlike D4, which is just slightly left, which is just you can still reach it with your right hand. C4, you might as well just use your left hand.
Okay, I'm gonna show my hate on this. His was better than yours, Chris. His was way better than yours.
Mine was explosive.
It was explosive. You're right. I will be the one to show my age a little bit, and I'm going to go with G6, if I can say it right. Oh, my gosh. Because you have to fly like a G6. I just totally ruined it. Do I win? James, do I win?
No, you lost.
I ruined it completely. Oh my gosh. I want to ride into the sunset away from here. I want to get off of this right now. Okay, all right. I think that's one of the weirdest ones we've ever done, but I'll take it. I'll take the W here cuz I think I won.
No, you couldn't L on that one, I think.
Okay,
you
fine.
You can win for pity's sake.
I will give it to James because the C4 was explosive. There you go. I'll give it to you there. Okay, guys. Y'all got anything else before I say anything else embarrassing?
Yeah, you gotta stop talking.
All right, guys. It's been great. Thank you guys so much for doing this. We're going to try to make this more of a regular thing, doing it on Wednesday nights at 9:30, and you know, just to get a little bit out of the whole AGR business. We've been doing that for a while, and we've missed doing episodes like this. So again, more Who Cares segments. I have no idea where we're gonna go from this.
If y'all want to suggest some, you can go to the Discord. There's a channel. You can write your suggestions for Who Cares segment.
Which, by the way, James just put up a poll on the Discord. What was it? The best fast food burger? And I knew your answer before I even, you know, looked at the poll. And your drink kind of gives it away a little bit there. It's Wendy's. So I haven't answered it yet, but I need to go do it. But anyways, we got to get off here. Thank you guys so much for watching along here with us live. There's even more of you who are listening afterwards or even watching on YouTube afterwards too. StarcasterCamarks.com is the website. Thank you to DraftKings Sportsbook. Their pick six option. Promo code is THPN there. You can follow us on social media, basically anywhere and everywhere. It's at StarcasticR, and I'm not joking, literally anywhere and everywhere. We're on Threads, like literally on Threads even. And yeah,
gross.
I know. So anyways, guys, alongside Chris and alongside James, we'll be back with you guys again tomorrow night. The Stars take on the Montreal Canadiens in a rebound effort for them. The Canadiens are looking for, and this time it's at home. It's at the American Airlines Center. Thank you guys so much for following along with us live. We'll catch you guys again on the flip side. Hope you guys have a good, fantastic morning, afternoon, evening, whenever y'all are listening. See you guys later.